person sets their mind on earthly things. And how many knows, especially in the day and age that we live in with much, much distraction. We got ball games to go to, we got birthday parties we got to do, we got ministry we got to do. We got to keep our relationship with the Lord, you know. And Cousin Susie, she's moving, so we've got to go up there and help them, you know. And I've got a phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, so anybody can contact me. Now, y'all talking about Scotty. Many people call me, and I don't even know my phone's ringing. Usually it's sitting on the table right beside my seat, and I'm not there. And if you call me and you don't leave a message, I'm probably not going to call you back. Reason being is because if you didn't feel it was important enough to leave a message, I don't feel it's important enough to call you back. You was probably just calling to chat or tell me about your day something. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? So we have all these distractions. And then we like to come into the church. Now, I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to the Facebook people. Y'all just sitting in here listening in on the conversation. So we're out there in the world, we got jobs we got to do, we got kids, we got grandkids, we got all kinds of stuff. We got cell phones, we've got Facebook, I mean, you name it, we just about got it. Twitter, all this other kind of stuff. So all the time, the thing about the flesh is he likes to feed himself. But he does not like spiritual food.
Right.
He likes all that fleshly stuff. I didn't say necessarily it had to be something bad. I mean, knows that something can just, you only have so much time and energy in a day. So whatever you spend that time and energy on, by the end of the day, you're just spent. You're out. You got to rest up, right? Because we live in this physical body. So the thing about praise and worship is when we come in out of the world, sometimes it takes us a little while to get in here, get our mind off of, I left the beans on in the crock pot. Y'all need to hurry up. Y'all not saying that. They smiling. Max laughing. We're wondering what's going on. We all know. I'm just kidding. So we come into the church, and so we may not consciously think it, but sometimes if we're not aware and on purpose do it, how many knows your mind will go anywhere you let it go when you have to on purpose think on certain things at certain times? So sometimes we come into the church and we got all this stuff to do. I got to get to Walmart, get groceries after church. You know, can y'all hurry up? God, you know, I'm here to listen to you. I brushed my teeth. I got ready. Now, you know, time's ticking, God. Get with it. He's not my genie in the bottle. So I come into the house of the Lord. And a lot of times I come in the flesh. What do I mean by that? My mind's not necessarily on the Lord or the things of the Lord. And Sister Susie starts talking to me about her day and how bad it was. And then if I ain't real careful, you know, I'm already in the flesh. And I tell you right now what I tell her and what I do about this. And before you know it, you release the wrong spirit in the house of the Lord. So everybody that comes in contact with the wrong spirit. How many knows we should be led by our testimonies in church?
Right.
I'm not talking about nothing nobody said a while ago.
Amen.
See, God don't always, I have a lot of things happen to me. And you know what? God don't always want me to tell y'all when I get here. And a lot of y'all probably wouldn't want to hear it. Y'all not saying nothing.
Bless you.
I should be led at the testimonies that I give. I've got testimonies y'all never heard. I probably got some maybe y'all never heard. And then there may be others you make up that we hear. I don't know. Oh, this is going real good.
Come on.
God loves us. And God doesn't want us just coming to church, filling in the space. Listen, I can already tell you what's going to happen when I get to church. Well, what's going to happen, you know? Well, we're going to get to church. We're going to mingle around a little bit. You know, those that will mingle. And you have certain ones, they don't mingle much, you know. And then Brother Scotty or Sister Sandy or Monty One's going to start off service, you know, because nobody else will do it. And so I don't already know what's going to happen there. Then we're going to get up there and Travis is going to ping, ping, ping. And we're going to sing three songs. I'm not saying nothing. Travis ain't looking at y'all, so don't worry about it. And then Travis is going to sing some three songs. And it's usually the one I don't even like. And then Brother Scotty's going to get up there and he's going to preach for an hour. I get 45 minutes of Sunday school. He gets an hour. I don't know why that is. But anyway, then Brother Scotty's going to preach on something for an hour, you know, and holler and spit and all this stuff. And then Johnny's going to dismiss service, and then we're going to go home.
Amen.
It's good to have a plan. You should always have a plan. I should have a plan about getting up and going to work in the morning if I got a job, right?
Right.
But the Bible says in Proverbs 3, in all of my ways, all of my ways, I start looking Saturday night what me and Scotty's supposed to wear on Sunday morning. I'm not telling you got to do that, but listen, I have learned something. If I will endeavor the best that I know how to be led in the small, I don't have a problem in the big usually.
Amen.
But if I want to be fleshly and carnal and don't care nothing about what the Spirit of the Lord wants in my life, then I have a disaster happen or an emergency happen, I'm going to have a hard time hearing from God.
Right. Right.
And I need to be led. Right. And it's not because God's not talking. God's always trying to lead us. God always has something He wants us to say or not to say. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead you just to be quiet and listen. So the reason why we have praise and worship is to bring everybody's, what it's supposed to do, is to bring everybody's heart and mind and put your focus on the Lord and not your problems. Not how tired you are, not who's sitting on the other pew and you got into it with them last week and all that other junk, but to set my heart and my mind on the Lord. The Bible says if we will seek, we will what? So every time I come to the house of the Lord, I need to be seeking Him. Right? So I need to have a conscious awareness of that, because if I'm not careful, I just get into this. I already know what's going to happen. I don't release no faith in the service. Every one of us should be releasing our faith toward God. Do you understand what is said up here is greatly affected by what you believe out there?
Amen.
So I can have great things that God wants to say, but He'll only let me say what you will allow most of the time. So that's why we have praise and worship, to bring our hearts and our minds on the Lord and to praise Him and to worship Him. And I think sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, not everybody, but I know I have from time to time myself, get caught up in not giving God thanks and being grateful for just who He is.
Yes.
Could you just think about it? If the only time you got a thank you or somebody said something nice to you was when you was doing something for them, I would hate that. Listen, I don't stay with my husband because he does something good for me all the time. The first 9 years we was married, that man didn't bring me nothing most time but trouble. But you know what? When you love somebody, you overlook a lot of stuff. But you let somebody else start getting your attention, and they don't look that good to you anymore. When we start, see, we're supposed to love the Lord what? With all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love our neighbors, we love ourselves, right? Well, okay, if I start getting distracted by the things of the world, guess what happens to my love for God? It's not that I don't necessarily love Him, but if I'm not careful, I don't start giving Him the attention that I did to begin with. And that's not His fault. But anyway, if y'all will, let's do something this evening. I have this little thing. The Lord brought it up to me Friday, and I've been singing it over and over and over. Play it over and over and over. I know Travis done sung the 3 songs. You say, how long are we going to do this? Well, however long it takes.
Amen.
Don't be waiting on me. Wait on you. Right? So if y'all will, I want us to close our eyes and just set our focus on the Lord. And we're going to, the first part of this, it goes like this. Something about the name of Jesus. Something about the name of Jesus. And then it's the sweetest name I know. And it'll be, oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. It's the sweetest name on earth. Okay? All right. Set your heart and your mind on the Lord. Oh, Father, we just praise You.
Something about the name Jesus. There's something about the name Jesus.
I don't hear y'all singing. What's happening? Y'all supposed to be singing. That's why I told y'all how it goes. I didn't say I'm going to bring you the mic. Sing. See, already, flesh. Can you tell? Somebody might hear me. Your heart's not on the Lord. It's on you. You think I sound real good? Scotty tells me I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Do you think I care? Not when God is listening. So let's do this again. Let's start over.
Something about the name Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. There's something about the name Jesus. There's something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. Can you feel that? See, God is everywhere, all the time. But he's not in the bar. Yes, he is. David said, lo, I make my bed in hell. God, you're there. If I ascend to the heavens, God, you're there. If I ascend below the earth, God, you're there. He's absolutely everywhere all the time. But he's not manifesting himself everywhere all the time. You know where he manifests himself? Where he's hungered for. He said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, ye shall be filled. He said, if we seek, we'll find him. If we knock, the door will be open. If we ask, we shall receive. But you know what? He says, those that honor him, he will honor. You know, one of the greatest ways God can honor us is manifest his presence. Because see, at the name of Jesus, the Bible says every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to glory, to the glory of God. See, with our little service, and I'm not talking about necessarily here or anywhere. When you have little services, you're not led by the Holy Spirit. You don't give God time to do the things that he wants to do. Do you realize demon-possessed people can sit right in the midst of the service and never have to come out? You don't even know they're there. Yeah. Not where he's going. What I mean by manifested means he reveals himself. Just like when you praise and you worship him, if you'll notice when you're at home and you praise and you worship him out of your heart. Do you realize Jesus said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. And if you're going to worship him, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Not this thing right here. This gets me in so much trouble. But when I worship the Lord out of my heart, out of my spirit, and in truth, he reveals himself. He manifests himself. I mean, it's almost like your eyes are closed and you can feel when somebody walks in the room. And you know it's him. Why? Because you know him. He lives on the inside of you. It's the same spirit. It's that same presence that abides on the inside of you. I ain't even told y'all my title yet, have I? Oh, that was free. That ain't even in my notes. We got to back up now and get started. But I felt like the Lord wanted us to do that because, I mean, sometimes people don't even know how to worship. You can say that, but I mean that you get somebody off the street, never been to church, they may not know, have a clue what that means or how to do it. Their heart, they want to do it, but they don't necessarily know how. And sometimes after we've been saved a while, and like I said, we get our mind on other stuff and we want God to hurry up. We got to be out by 12:30 because we told so-and-so to be over at our house at 1 o'clock. Well, maybe you shouldn't tell so-and-so. Who is the most important in our lives? We say it's him, but does our actions prove it? Does my money prove it? Oh, boy, did I just say that? Title tonight is Holy Spirit Baptism. Yeah. If you got your Bible, let's look at Matthew 3. Let's get in some scripture here. I ain't got all night, and it don't take the Lord all night. I feel it changed already. What did I tell y'all? Why am I asked? I'm supposed to go to Matthew 3. Y'all right. Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 11. It says, indeed, this was John the Baptist talking. And listen, Baptist wasn't his name, last name or his denomination. When you read the Bible, you need to read it with the Holy Spirit. One reason why we have messed up doctrines is because people have read it in the flesh and interpreted it in the flesh. And it's not a fleshly book. It's a spiritual book. So this is John the Baptist talking. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Jesus hasn't been crucified yet. That's why they did baptism in water for repentance. It says, but he that cometh after me, talking about Jesus, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with what?
The Holy Ghost.
Ah, one of my favorite people to talk about. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff which is with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Listen, Jesus had no need for baptism to repentance. He's the Son of God, sinless. He never sinned. He doesn't need to be born again. He is the born again. He wasn't born like me and you, right? He was born of a virgin birth of the Father. So he goes on here, and he says, 14, well, let's read 13 again. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or in other words, he went on and done it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Listen, the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost has a lot of names in the Bible. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of God, a lot of different names. And he's coming here in the form of a dove. He's not a dove. He's the third person of the Trinity. You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There are three, but yet there are one Spirit. And he says here, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Notice the very next thing. This is just a continuation. Then was Jesus led up of who? Who led him? The Spirit. The Spirit of who? The Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Spirit of God. A lot of different names. But you know what I found out? I don't find where Jesus done one miracle until he was baptized in water and then the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Let me tell you why that is. The Bible says he came and stripped himself of being God and came and was born of a woman like me and you, other than his was sinless because he was other half of him, or side of him was God that overshadowed Mary, right? Y'all remember all of that? Well, he came and he did everything he did the same way me and you's got to do it. Because if he didn't, we could say, but that was Jesus, so I can't because he's different. No. He stripped himself of being God, came here, was born in flesh, and did things just like if he was a man. So therefore, y'all remember Jesus, he said, the works that I do, he said, you shall do, and greater works shall you do. How you think that is? Sandy, I ain't never done a miracle by myself. Can't, not capable. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the works. Right? All right, let's go on here. Let's go over to, so we see there that Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit came upon him. Listen to me. When you get born again, you have the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, whichever one you want to call him. He indwells you. The day you got born again, you got the Father, you got the Son, Jesus, and you got the Holy Spirit. Indwell. What I'm talking about tonight is a totally separate experience where the Holy Spirit comes upon. Just like he says here, when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him as in the form of a dove. Very gentle. That's the reason why he talks to him like that. The devil's very pushy. The Holy Ghost is very gentle. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. I'm going somewhere, y'all. Just hang on. And for time's sake, I'm going to start in, I think it's verse 8. Let's see here. just read verse 8. Starting verse 9. It says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." It says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone?"
No.
Would you?
No.
If your kid's hungry and wants a piece of bread, would you give him a rock? Say, "Here, chew on this."
No.
He goes on and he says, "Will they give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he, for a fish, give him a serpent? Would you give him a snake?" Absolutely not. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" After you're born again, your next step is to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? We're going to get into, hopefully be able to get in. There's a lot of scripture about this that I don't have time to get into tonight. You can go and study it and look it up for yourself. The Bible says he's the teacher. He's the counselor. He's the revealer. When after you get born again, the Holy Spirit needs to become your best friend. Why? Me and you are very limited. I can't tell you who's going to walk through the door in the next second, and you can't either, unless it's revealed. Well, guess who the revealer is? God the Father is sitting on his throne. The Bible says Jesus is sitting at his right hand, right? Guess who's here in the earth with me and you? The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, whichever way that you want to refer to him. So he says there that if you would give good gifts to your children, he's a father just like the father's here on the earth. And how much more that if we ask him for the Holy Ghost, he won't give us something bad. He won't give us something different. He'll give us the Holy Ghost, right? Or the Holy Spirit. That's what he says there. Now let's look at Acts chapter 1. I know, Scotty, before, most of y'all have heard the story, but I'm going to tell it again. Before we got born again, we was down at I don't know what that place is, Trafford or where, or somewhere down that way. Anyway, and there's a house on the hill, and Scotty said, "Don't ever go up there, they're people's holy roads." Well, I had been to church every now and then when I was a little kid, but I mean, I wasn't a Christian or anything like that, you know, and I don't know what that term means. I guess he had probably been to church, his mama taking him as a little kid, maybe more than I had, or whatever, and I thought, holy road, or what is that, what's that mean? He said, "They run around in the floor." And I thought, "I don't want none of that. I'm not going to go up there. That's for sure." So Scotty had a lot of built up wrong doctrine and wrong thinking about the Holy Spirit before we got saved. Well, we get saved, and Sandy's my aunt. And she tells me, you know, a little while after we're saved, she said, "Okay, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost." She said it with evidence speaking in tongues. Well, I don't know anything about this. I know her. I know her life. I started going to church where she goes to church. I trust her. So whatever she said, I just believed it. So I started praying and asking God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, Scotty heard about it. He's smiling. He said, "I can't believe you're going to do that." He said, "That stuff's of the devil." I'm telling you, I'm getting crucified for asking be filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking tongues. Why? Because he's been places that didn't read the scriptures or they didn't read them right. Or he didn't hear them right or something. Y'all ain't never had none of that. I can see there's denominations that they teach the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues has been done away with. There's other people they say it's of the devil. Well, what did Jesus just say right there? We read it. He said, "If you, being evil as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Ghost to those who ask him?" Now, you got the Holy Spirit when you got born again, indwelling. He's talking about a totally separate thing where the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's what we're going to read here in what I tell you, Acts 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, needless to say, it didn't take me quite as much longer to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues as it did Scotty. It took him a while. Reason being, he had some false doctrine and some things built up. How many of you know that the truth will insulate you against a lie? But if you believe a lie, it's going to insulate you against the truth. And it is the truth that's supposed to make you free. Right? So he says here in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 or 2. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, after talking about Jesus, that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Notice this was a command. He didn't ask them, if you think you need the Holy Ghost, if you think you want the Holy Ghost, right? It said there that he commanded them. Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. We just read another place, just read that. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. That word power there, when you look it up, it's dunamis. This is what it meant, what it said. It's dunamis in the Greek. It says, force, miraculous power, might, worker of miracle. So it's that kind of power. So now these people, they're born again. They have already believed on Jesus. Jesus has done been crucified, raised from the dead, and he's given them commandments, right? They don't need to be saved. They already are. Now he's telling them, go stay in Jerusalem until what I promised you, the Holy Spirit comes. He says, but you shall receive power after. So you don't have this kind of power when you get saved. You understand you have power and authority. I'm not saying you don't. You don't have this kind of power. He says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. He didn't say in you. He said upon you. And you shall be witnesses. Listen, this is not you tell people about Jesus. This is witnesses because you've got that Mark chapter 16 power in your life. These signs shall follow those who believe. They'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick. They'll speak with new tongues. I don't know about y'all, but I didn't get a new tongue when I got born again. That's the same tongue I've had all these years. I'm 50. The same tongue I had for 50 years. Same one. Why would I say that? Because do you realize there's people that say, I get a new tongue when I got saved? That's a lie, though, you did. Anybody, you raise your hand if you did. Not one of y'all. So that can't be what he's talking about, Mac. You look this up right here, and he says, in Mark 16, he says, you'll speak with new languages. Something not learned. I only speak English because that's what my mama taught me. Now, Johnny speaks Spanish, English, and I don't know whatever else, if anything else. Why you speak that, Johnny? That's what you heard, right? What you was taught. Yeah. So it takes faith for me to operate in that new language. Now, let's go on here. He says, and you shall be witnesses, not talking about witnessing for Jesus. You've got things in your life that other people don't have. You now have dunamis, miracle working power in your life. The Bible says in Mark, 17 or 8, somewhere around after that, it says, and the Lord working with them, showing signs, wonders, and miracles, confirming the word that was preached. What we preach that we're led to preach by the Lord, there should be signs that follow that. I'm preaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight with 7 minutes of speaking in tongues. Bless God, somebody in here should receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and begin to speak with other tongues tonight. Why? Because he said it. We're listening. We're going to do it. He gives it. We receive it.
Yeah.
Right? So let's go in here. I got a lot to do. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, when he got through saying all that, he ascended up. We're going to take that back up over here and let's see what verse. I guess we'll go to chapter 2, verse 1. But let me say this. Okay, they went to Jerusalem and they went up in what they call the upper room. Some say that they was, church history, around 500 of them went up there, of his disciples. Y'all didn't think you just had 12, did you? He had 70 one time that left him all there at one time. He had a lot of disciples. But he had 12 disciples that stayed with him all the time pretty much. And then three that was his innermost, Peter, James, and John. Sometimes they got to go places the rest of them didn't get to, right? Like transfiguration and all that. But anyway, so they go up into the upper room and they're staying there. They don't know when the Holy Ghost is coming. They don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost other than what Jesus has told. Go stay there. Tarry there. Tarry means stay. Stay there until you receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, they stay there. They say around 500. They went, but about 120 left, they say. So we're going to pick it up here in chapter 2 in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. When we come to this house, we need to be in one mind, one spirit, and one purpose. The Holy Ghost will be able to accomplish way more for you. He goes on here and he says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now he's not wind and he's not a dove. He says, as the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. What did John say? He'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. He says here, and it sat upon each of them. So he came upon, and they were all, what?
Filled
with the Holy Ghost. How many of them?
All.
That's very important to remember. Because you'll hear some today, and I know why they do this, they get mixed up. You'll hear some today, well, that baptism of the Holy Ghost and them tongues, you know, is not for everybody. And they have a scripture that they'll use for that. It's found over there in, 1 Corinthians 13, the latter part of that, where he says, are all apostles? We'd have to say no. Everybody in the church is not an apostle, are they, man? Everybody in the church is not a teacher. Everybody in the church is not a prophet. Then he goes on and he says, do all speak with tongues? The answer is no. What that is, you got to keep it in context. There is a ministry gift that when we are assembled together, that if someone has that gift and God gives them utterance, they give out a message in tongues, and that is supposed to be interpreted. So we can all understand. I'm not talking about ministry gift tonight. So if you don't realize that there's two different things that are being talked about, you'll get messed up. Because no, everybody does not have the ministry gift of tongues. Not everybody has the ministry gift of interpretation of tongues. But everybody, just like he says here, all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with what?
Other
tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And he goes on down and he starts talking about how there was people that was there from all these different cities, all these different places. And he says that, and he names what all the places are, and I'm not going to take time to read that. But he says there, verse 11, the Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Well, so he goes on down and says, it's only about 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, no, they're not full of wine like what you would think. Now, y'all remember the story over there in Joel where God told him, he said, in the last days, he said, we sung that song. Did y'all hear it? Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. I'm sitting over playing that. And I'm like, Travis didn't know I was doing service tonight. Travis didn't know what my message was, what the Holy Ghost does.
Amen.
And if you're led, you'll always be right in tune. If you're not, you'll be out of tune. In Joel chapter 3, I believe it is, God told him, I had him prophesy. He said, in the last days, he said, I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. He said, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. That's what is happening here in the New Testament. You realize this is where the church started here in the book of Acts. And he poured out the Holy Spirit and he anointed them. And do you realize this is still being written? You are the book of Acts. I am in the book of Acts. It's never stopped being written. It started here in the book of Acts, but we're still the church and we're still being written.
Amen.
And his spirit is still being poured out on all flesh that will receive him. And he goes on there and Peter stands up and preaches and all that stuff. And I think it was about 3,000 of them got saved. Now let's look at Acts 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this is after Peter's long preaching here. And the people that heard him, this is them saying this. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, many as far off, but we're close to him today, that we've been born again.
Hallelujah.
He says, there even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then he goes on with many other words. He did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. And all this, he says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, I think it is. Now, this story here, there's a guy. He's a sorcerer. He does magic. His name is Simon. And he gets saved. And we're going to pick it up here in verse 8. It says, and there was great rejoicing in that city, but there was a man named Simon who had formerly practiced magic arts in the city to the utter amazement of the Samaritan nation, claiming that he himself was an extraordinary and distinguished... Oh, I'm reading this Amplified. I'm sorry. It says something different. Let me go over here. Because my Bible has two different, King James and Amplified. Let me read it over here where it says it. What verse was that? 8?
Mm-hmm.
And there was great rejoicing in that city, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, which was a lie. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Or in other words, magic. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. Now notice, they've all been believing. They've got born again. And he said there they was baptized, right?
Yeah, it's only water.
He goes on and he says, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive who?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Then he goes on the story, and it says, when Simon, which used to be a sorcerer, saw that the Holy Ghost was given by the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. So that tells me, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's something happens to you that can be seen and heard. Right? Now let's look at, I'm trying to do this quick, because I don't want to take a lot of time. Acts chapter 10. Verse 44, I want to start in. It says, while Peter yet spake these words. Now, to back up a little bit, so y'all know the story before what happens here. Y'all remember the story about the guy Cornelius? The Bible says that he was a good man. He gave all many alms and all this stuff. He served the Lord and all that. Well, he's not a Jew. He doesn't have a covenant with God. So anyway, God has him, tells him, an angel of the Lord comes to him and says, send to Joppa for Peter. Y'all remember the story, right? Well, Peter falls in a trance, sees all this uncommon food, you know, and that's where he tells him, you know, don't call anything God's called clean, unclean, or whatever. Go with these men. Well, when he gets back over there, this is where what happens. Peter comes in the house. Now, they weren't supposed to have anything to do with each other. He comes in the house, and he starts preaching to him, and it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on how many? All them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also, which would have been me and you, was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with what?
Tongues.
And magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid you to be water baptized? Right? They believed in Jesus. Then when Peter came and spoke, the Holy Ghost fell. And they began to speak with other tongues. And then he says, is there any water around here? We can go baptize water, baptize people, right? Colossians 3. Colossians 3, I don't know. what the difference is, just the way the gift operates. Scotty can get up here and he don't even have to read a scripture. Y'all ain't noticed that? Y'all lucky if y'all get one scripture out of him most of the time of service. I can't get up here without a bunch of them. It's just the way I operate. It's the way the gift works that I have. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Get there. Verse 1. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, and you are if you're born again. He says, seek those things which are above. I think it's the Amplified. It says, set your mind on the things that are above. What I was talking about a while ago. Not carnal things all the time. Natural things all the time. He says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Then he starts talking about put to death the members of the flesh and all that stuff. But notice that, verse 3. He says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that when he died, we die. How can you say that? Well, just like this. The reason why you was born into, everybody was born into sin is because Adam and Eve sinned, and everybody was inside Adam's loins. We all came from the tomb. Well, the Bible says because of one man's sin, all was made sinners. But because of one man's righteousness, in Romans chapter 6, talking about Jesus, all of us that will receive him have been made righteous. That's how that is. So in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, the Bible says in Romans 6, me and you had the same thing happen to us whenever we was born again. So he says here, and your life is hid with God in Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. The Word, listen, Jesus is the Word. His name in the book of Revelation is the Word of God. He only became Jesus because we needed him to. That was his earthly name when he came down here. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, now that we're in him, I don't know who I am. Y'all not saying that. Y'all know who you are. See, before we got born again, Scotty was Garth Brooks. Oh, we got him a big old black velvet hat. I'm pregnant with Travis, and he's got the guitar, and oh, he's singing. I got friends in low places. Y'all remember that song, right? Oh, y'all too sanctified. I know y'all don't remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we remember.
What's that other one? The Thunder Rose. That was his favorite one. What is it? Thunder Rose and the Lightning Strikes and all of that. Woo! He thinks he's Garth Jr. Why? He don't know who he is. He thinks he's a drug dealer. Gonna make it big one day. You can't make it all that big when you're smoking it all up. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
We're afraid to.
Y'all just want me to tell everything I got and do it and all that stuff's what it is. See, we got people running around here today. They think they're all kinds of stuff. I mean, seriously, I have never seen a people as mixed up as who they are, what they are. Y'all come on now.
That's right.
Than I have today.
Yep.
They don't know if they're a boy, Sandy, or they're a girl. Well, look down. I'm not trying to be funny. That's what we've done for years.
That's right.
Now they're talking about waiting on until a child gets of a certain age to put on their birth certificate whether they're a boy or a girl.
Right.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be ugly. The Bible says our life is hid in Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing in God. I don't know who I am till I get born again and I go after him.
Amen.
Don't tell your kids, baby, you can grow up be whatever you want to be. No, they can't. They need to grow up. They need to find out who they are in Christ, in God. They'll be the happiest, the most blessed, will have the most purposeful, meaningful life if they'll do that. And they don't got to be no big wig with no big name and no bunch of money. See, once I get born again, I need to go after him. Because I don't know who I am until I find out who he is and he tells me who I am.
Amen.
And then when he tells me who I am, I need to believe that regardless of what I feel like or look like.
Yes.
Why? Because if I'll continue on by faith, I will eventually become that.
Yes.
Why? Because that's who and what he said I am already. If you got girl parts, honey, you are a girl. If you've got boy parts, you are a boy. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm serious. I'm telling you, these people so confused, so hurt, so messed up. And God didn't make them that way. And do you understand? You can have feelings. You can have strong feelings. Does that make them right?
No.
I can strongly want to kill somebody. Does that make it okay?
No.
And God didn't make me that way. God made me to love. What? God is love, and I'm like him.
Amen.
Now I may need to grow and develop to that. When I got saved, I was very quiet, very shy. I know it's hard for y'all to believe, but anyway, I was. Wouldn't shake anybody's hand. Hard for me to look people in the eye at church, because especially Brother Brad. I mean, he just had these eyes, and he's standing back there at the door. And every time I come in, he's standing there. Every time I go out, he's standing there. And I couldn't hardly look him in the eye, because I felt like if I looked him in the eye, his eyes just pierced to my soul and knew every rotten thing that I done in him. Over a period of time, the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, he is the Spirit of truth. And how be it when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal all truth to you. And when you know the truth, it'll make you free. When you know who he said you are, it'll make you that way.
Amen.
Listen to me, there's not a lot of people heard this before. And that's okay, I don't need to get it. Before I got born again, not too long before I got born again, I had some feelings. Now I'm a girl, and I'm married. I'm a married woman. But there would be certain types of women I would get around, I'd feel something. Lord, I would really get around. I'm not gay, Sandy. I'm a married woman with a kid. But how many knows the devil's not right and he wants to make us not right?
Right. Yeah.
And so before I got saved, I would have some of these kind of feelings. And I mean, I'm like, what I mean by that, they was pretty, they was attractive. That's about as far as I'm going to go with that. After I got saved, things changed. Why? Because now I'm born of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. Even though you've been born of the Spirit of God, don't mean you can't have certain feelings. Let Scotty make me mad. And buddy, do you believe I have some feelings? 30-something years, Mac. Next week, 36 years, I've had feelings. And they ain't all been good. But how many knows you shouldn't act on feelings that are not right? You see, I shouldn't run out and get a divorce because I'm mad at him at the time. Because you know what? I run out there and I get a divorce and I get unmad. He's done met somebody else. And now here I am, wished I had him. You know how many times that happens? But he says, my life is hid in Christ, the Anointed One, in God. So I need to, guess who else knows what the mind and heart of God is? Romans chapter 8 says, in likewise this manner, the Holy Spirit, the King James says, itself, I don't like that. I'd hate to be called an it all my life. He's a person. The Amplified Bible translates it, himself, helpeth with our infirmities, because we don't know how to pray as we ought to. You can't even pray right without him. And you might say, well, because I don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't mean the Holy Spirit can't lead me. Sure, he can lead you. But listen, we all going to go the same way. There's some things you're not going to get without him. There's some things. Y'all heard the story how the internet ministry come about while Scotty's praying in other tongues, mowing the grass, right? And in his head, he said, that ain't going to happen. Look over here. Because I don't want to go much further. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to get too tired. Verse 1, he says, follow after love. Now, all this was the love chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of healing, all this other kind of stuff. Here at 14, he says, follow after charity, which is love, and desire spiritual gifts. Because that's what he's talking about before. He says, but rather that you may prophesy, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who?
God.
For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. What he's talking about, just like what I'm doing right now. It would do no good for y'all if I got up here and said, you'd be like, what did you say? Zeke Johnny's going, that ain't Spanish. I don't understand it either. I do it by faith. That's what he's talking about. In a church setting, he would rather that we prophesy. Why? Everybody understands that. If I do that in a service and on and on and on, there's supposed to be somebody stand up and got the interpretation of what I said. Right? But he says there that a man that speaketh in an unknown tongue, he speaketh not unto men, but unto God. He says, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. My life, your life, is hid with Christ, the Anointed One, in God. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Romans 8, searches the heart and the mind of God, and that he knows the plans that God has. He knows every plan God has for my life. And the day I got born again, that was downloaded right here in my spirit. But I don't know what it is, Sandy. I ain't got a clue. So, these mysteries are not hidden from us. They're hidden for us. Why? The devil don't know them, and the world can't see them. But he says, when I speak in an unknown tongue, he says, howbeit I speak mysteries. Mysteries are revealed. Just like as Scotty was praying in other tongues, God wanted internet ministry here. But as Scotty was praying in other tongues, it came up and it was revealed to him. Now look here, verse 4, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue does what?
Edifies himself.
But he that prophesied edifies the church. So it says here in verse 4 that when I speak in an unknown tongue, that I edify myself. The word edify means build up, strengthen. Anybody in here that don't need building up and strengthen? I don't know about y'all, but I do every day. Now, what I got right back here. The Bible says, put it on the screen, please, Beth. John 16. We won't take the time to turn over there.
John 15 what?
5:15. This will be our last verse here. It says, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? This is Jesus talking. We just don't have it in red. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. The Amplified Bible calls him the Comforter, the Counselor, the Standby, the Helper, the Teacher. He says, the Comforter will not come unto you. Why? Because he's inside Jesus, or on Jesus. So Jesus has to go back, and he said, when I go, I'll send you. He says here, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me, talking about Jesus, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, come of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, is come, he will guide you. Listen, you need a guide in this world. We know so very little. The Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians 14, every one of us, we only know in part. I only know a little bit of part. He says on there, and he says, he will guide you into all truth. And the Bible says, truth makes free. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall not receive, he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Bible says there, he will take of what is, but do you know the Bible says that you've been given an inheritance in the saints? That's not heaven. That's not when I get there. I have an inheritance here right now, but I need the Holy Spirit to help me get to that inheritance. Amen. And reveal it to me. He says there, whatever he hears, listen, Jesus has everything, right? And he says that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. He said there that he's going to take of what's mine and he's going to show it to me and you. In other words, that word show it means reveal it to me and you. Listen, if I had a towel right here and you didn't know what was back here, it's hidden. You don't know what's back here. But if I remove that, that's what the Holy Spirit does, then you can see plainly what was there all the time. That's why we need him. We need him. Listen, I don't always know how to pray. The Bible says over in the book of Jude, he says to pray in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Why? God is love. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He doesn't come out of love. Y'all remember, y'all heard the story, right? I was in the bed. No, that mama was coming to stand with me, and that guy at Arab, or wherever it was, I think it was Arab, wouldn't pay Scotty. And so Scotty's going up there. And on the way up there, y'all heard the story, right? He had an image of what he's going to do to him. When he opens the door, he's going to uppercut him, slide him through the living room in the kitchen, jump on his fat belly, and beat him to a pulp. He's got this image, he's feeling it, and he's on his way to go do it. Oh, feelings, not being led. Some strong feelings. Guess who's trying to stop him? The Holy Spirit says, pray in other tongues. He said, I don't want to pray in other tongues. He said, pray in other tongues. Well, you wouldn't leave him alone. Pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues. Why? Because I'm praying in the Holy Ghost helps keep me in the love of God. Y'all heard the story? So he starts praying in tongues, and by the time he gets to the guy's house, he goes up there, knocks on the door, and he says, man, you got a ticket? Yeah, he brings him a ticket. He marks paid on the ticket. You know what happens? The guy says, no, we're not going to do that. He goes over there, and he gets all Scotty's money, and he gives it to him. That was fixing to be a totally different scenario. He's about to go to jail. If the man died, he's going to prison. I'm not saying he's big and bad. Y'all know people hit their head, different things happen. They're in jail all the time. Never meant for certain things to happen. But it's the Holy Spirit speaking to him in tongues. Pray in other tongues. Well, he don't have a clue what he's saying in other tongues, but what he knows is by the time he got there, he was in the flesh, and now he's in the spirit. He was going to hurt somebody. Now he's loving the guy. So here tonight, I have ministered the word to you, you know, about the Holy Ghost. You know, God loves us. He loves us so much. Travis, would you come play? Where'd he get? Oh, there you are. Come up here and play something, please. Something, song, whatever. I'll necessarily have a lead about something. The name of something.